Let's get it.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
I am fine, thank you. How about yourself, lady?
I am good. I am good. What would you like us to refer to you as on our show today?
You can refer to me as Pierre. I mean, I go by anything. In the military, we go by last name. So a lot of people call me Solomon. People think my company name is my first name because there's a lot of like Haitian Pierres as the last name. I go by anything. As long as it is respectful, I am A-okay.
All right, so I'm going to call you Mr. Anything today. How's that? All right.
I'm anything you want me to be, baby. Let me know.
No, you can call me anything, so we're going to call you Mr. Anything, and that's okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm going to call you Pete. I'm going to call you Solomon, because you said the military.
Yeah, I like Solomon.
I'm going to do Solomon. That works for you too?
Yeah, I like Solomon.
I like Solomon too.
You have the kind of name that could go both ways.
Yeah. I've been told. I'm like, very easygoing too, so I don't really care about much.
Yeah. And both ways sound very distinguished.
Solomon. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I
didn't know where you were going with that.
All right. Just had a whole moment. No mind. And welcome to everyone that is watching. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Welcome to the Pandagasm Show. It's been a while. So welcome back, all our viewers. I am Panda, your hostess. Woo-hoo!
What's up?
And then we have Letty Boo.
Hi, guys.
Gang, gang. And today, as our guest, we have lovely Solomon. What's up, Solomon?
Nothing much. Just chilling, working hard, and trying to network with members in our community and trying to make us better overall.
So how are you networking with... First of all, let's get the people... Let's give the people context on how we met. How did you get to be here on our show today? Because we welcome your presence. We love you for being here. Thank you so much. Let's give a little story time, a little feedback to how we met.
Can we start with who you are? I mean, we know Pierre Solomon. Solomon Pierre.
Yeah. All of the above.
But who are you?
Hi, I'm Pierre, founder and CEO of Solomon Firearms Training and Overwatch Security. I met you guys through one of my good friends, Nika's event. She was having a... Was it candle making that time?
No, I think it was the wine tasting.
Okay, wine tasting. Yeah, I've been to so many events. Yeah, I met you guys at the wine tasting, and then you guys had a little comedy show that was happening. I really liked the energy, because I wasn't expecting that, and yeah, I just came up with mad energy, and I was like, okay, I'm feeling that. And I saw you guys were chasing a dream. You were hustling. You were, you know, interacting with the crowd, and I really like people that put in effort, because effort goes a long way. So I can tell people, because a lot of people have dreams and they talk about things, but not enough people take action. So I like the fact that you guys had a dream, you're taking action, you're being vulnerable, you're in front of strangers talking and stuff like that. And that takes a lot of courage to go out there and do that. So I like the vibe that you guys had, and you know, I was rocking with it. So I hit you guys up afterwards and say, hey, let's connect.
Let's connect, appreciate. All right, thank you, thank you. See how networking just be working. Yeah, I love it. I love that. We talk to people, we talk to everybody, and that's why it's our hashtag, let's talk. We like to talk. So thank you for reaching out, and now tell us a little bit more about your business.
So I own a firearm training company, so I help people get their license to carry. We also teach intermediate classes, so after people get their gun permit, we do private lessons. We also teach hand-to-hand combat, pepper spray training. We train security officers, and we also work with law enforcement as well. So we can help somebody who has no experience or somebody who has been experienced, and we can help run you through that gun ownership journey as far down the rabbit hole that you want to go. So if you want to get into like military tactics and things like that, we can do that as well. But so we help people through that process. I also own a security company where we provide unarmed and armed security services for a variety of clients. And I also have an entrepreneur business network where I help people become entrepreneurs themselves, teach them how to start a business or to grow their current business into a six-figure organization. So both of our companies are individually six figures, and I want other people to, I want to help other people establish generational wealth for themselves and their family as well. So I'm trying to teach people in my community and for us all to be great. So I'm rooting for everybody Black.
Awesome. That's super duper dope. I just want to clarify something that you said. It sounded like three businesses to me, but you said both of your business are six figure companies. So what did I miss here?
Yeah. So when I started firearm training, you know, my expertise was a shooting, right? So I just knew how to shoot. And then through through the company ownership, I learned that I needed to be and learn a lot more. I needed to be the accountant, the social media manager. I needed to be the janitor, you know, the CPA. So I found myself doing a lot of things that I wasn't good at and I've never done in my life. And I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot more to running this thing than just shooting guns. Shooting guns ended up being like 10% of what I was doing, and 90% was like admin stuff and whatnot. And I think a lot of people starting businesses aren't aware of that. And if you don't have the freedom, the capacity, and the willingness to learn all these additional skills, you're going to fail. That's why, you know, you have that stat that 95% of businesses fail within the first 2 years, and then 50% additionally in that four-year period. And the reason for that is because you got to know a lot, and you got to be willing to learn, evolve, and grow, and accept that people aren't going to understand your journey. People close to you may not support you, and it's really, really hard, and you have to sacrifice. So in my entrepreneur courses that we teach, we try to get people on the right path so that way they are successful and they don't make fatal flaws and fatal mistakes. So I kind of started, you know, from the bootstraps, you know, started from the bottom. And so I really had to claw my way up. And through those struggles and experiences, I realized that if I documented those things, I can help people avoid a lot of the pitfalls. I made a lot of mistakes. I fell into a lot of traps, and it took me years to get out of those things. So if people could just avoid those pitfalls, they would already be going twice as fast as I am, because it took me years to recover from some bad decision makings that I made. So just avoiding that, you're already streamlining. So now what I do is I document everything that I do, and I've become a teacher, a really good teacher, and I can teach any subject. So as long as I'm good at that thing, I've learned how to interact with people, capture their attention, and make sure that they retain that information. So firearm training is kind of like the vehicle now that I use to, you know, do a lot of things, like the entrepreneur business network that I run. It started off as teaching people how to shoot, but if you're going to become an instructor, then you need a shop, you need to, you know, invest in, you know, getting materials and things like that. So it's a business class as well, because if you don't know how to do these other things, okay, you're an instructor now. Now you need to get people in your class. Well, I hate social media. Well, people are on social media. Right. So there was this whole thing, brick and mortar thing. COVID, you know, tore down that idea of brick and mortar would forever survive. So if you didn't have an online presence, you know, your company died. So those are all things that, you know, that goes with, you know, firearms training, but it's that financial part. And I think it's the other aspect, like people have an expertise and then they start a business. And then there's these 50 other things that you need to be an expert at that I think is the reason why 95% of businesses fail, because they can't master these things or they can't delegate the correct people to address those problems. And then they end up failing, because being an expert at your craft is not enough to run a successful business. So I use the firearm training as a gateway to get into these things. And I kind of plant seeds in my classes, and every once in a while I check in, I water them. And so now I'm just using firearm training as a vehicle for a lot of different programs that we have.
Gotcha.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
How long ago did you start like the first business?
So I'm in firearms training. I started in 2014.
Okay. And you said you're Haitian?
Yes, I am. I was born in Haiti.
So how did that work having Caribbean parents when you're like, I just want to be an entrepreneur? Because, you know, to Caribbean parents, you have to be a doctor, you got to be a nurse, you got to be a lawyer. So how many times did they make you get down on your knees and put your arms out because that just wasn't what they had in mind for you to run your own business? I know they cussed you out.
Yeah, well, I've realized that I've definitely taken the non-traditional route. My parents have 7 kids. I'm number 5. So I had, you know, I had 4 siblings prior to me go to college. And then I was this 18-year-old high school kid. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to join the army. And, you know, Haitian, it's like education, education, education. Yeah. So they were really supportive in the beginning. But over time, when they saw that I was serious and I was in the reserve, so I was still able to come back home and go to school, and the military paid for my college degree and things like that. So when people saw that I was being strategic with it, you know, like I remember when I first told my mom, she's like, oh, so you gonna go die for the white man? You know, and that was like the first thing. And I'm like, I'm trying not to die. So hopefully I'm good enough at my job.
At all. You
know, dying is not the plan, you know.
At all. It's really not. Yeah. Making money is like the goal here. I'm not trying to go out here and die at all. Like, I have a plan. Yeah, you see how far left they go real quick? They just like, you're like, whoa, wait, no. Slow down. Bring it in.
Yeah, and then people just saw how I moved, you know, and then they saw I was being smart. And once they realized I was really serious about it, and, you know, I deployed to Afghanistan, so, you know, my family rallied behind me to support me and things like that. And, you know, I, you know, made it a career. But yeah, it definitely wasn't. Yeah, it's funny because in my family, my parents have all of them. They have the doctors, they have the lawyer, they got
the. Here comes you, the entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, so they're really.
How much did you have in your bank account that day? Like $2 when you was like going to start your own business?
Yeah, so I think I had 2 months or 4 months. I can't remember. It was like no more than 4 months worth of savings. I'm pretty sure it was 2 months. And then and that's a lesson that I learned, because I was like, okay, I had enough for first last insecurity, and then I had 2 months. But I didn't know that it would take me $10,000 to build out my space, right? So these are the traps that I fell into. Had I known how much more money would have taken me, I would have stayed at my job for another year to save up enough money. But I had excellent credit. So what did I do? Well, I quit my job. I already moved into the space. I got to make shit work. So I spend that $10,000, but now that $10,000 is on credit card. So now you're paying APR, right? So nobody should be spending $10,000 on credit card. You'll file a, you know, stream of income that, you know, you'll pay it off. So then it's my first year of business, so I'm not making money like that. I got overhead, so I fall into debt and all this crap. So I had, what, 750 plus credit score at the time, and then now my credit tanks because my debt to income ratio is not appropriate. Yeah. And, you know, so I go through these struggles over the years, and I'm like, damn, I could have saved myself thousands of dollars by just staying at work for another 6 months. You know, doing all those things. And then these are things I tell new entrepreneurs, so that way you make sure you allocate enough funds for your ideas, so that way you don't get jammed up in something like that. And, you know, it's like there are things that we need to know, but like society doesn't teach you. You go to school, you know, I can take out $100,000 fucking dollars to get a useless degree. But if I ask for half of that to start my own business, you can't qualify for that. But I can go to Sally Mae and I can go to school for 20 years and they're going to run, you know, they'll keep
adding that bill
up. Give me that. You know, and then how many people do you hear don't use their college degree, or they're underemployed, and, you know, places won't hire them because they're overqualified, and mm-hmm. and all these things. So it's like nobody taught me these things, and I had to learn and I had to struggle. So if you pay me my $400, it's going to save you $4,000. So I always tell people, the money that you're spending in the class and the knowledge that you're getting, it took me a decade to get that. So if you want to save yourself a decade and make money faster, you're actually saving money by paying me $400 for the course. And then you'll get, you know, started a lot quicker, and then you'll get a mentor, and you'll get the vast access to the vast network that I have. So I'm at the point now where my time is not free. So if you want my time, you're gonna have to pay for it. And then it's my job to create a valuable network so you wanna be connected to me. And you know, so we're just trying to help people who want to better themselves and be, and I'm being the person that I needed when I was a kid, when I was a young adult, and now as a man. So just trying to be a positive force in the world.
For $400.
Right.
Per class. Per class. Okay. My time is free. We got to pay to play.
So what exactly does that $400 cover?
It covers the first class, the Entrepreneur Business Network, right? So we have a network where we meet once a month. It's $100 membership per year. And basically, have you ever been to like BNI, Chambers of Commerce, things like that?
No.
Okay. So it's basically, I was part of these networks, like BNI, Chambers of Commerce, they're like popular, well-known, basically entrepreneurs and business owners and leaders, they network together to pass referrals. So if I know you do makeup and my sister's getting married, because we're in the same business network, I'm gonna say, hey sis, go to so-and-so because she's good. So it's intentionally giving referrals and working with people and bringing value. And then that person is also gonna be invested in your endeavors as well. So the goal is to have this large group of entrepreneurs, business leaders, experts in, you know, variety of crafts, and then you guys work together to help everybody make money. So it's like keeping the money, you know how like we say keep money in the Black community, we'll be like, oh, Asians do a very good job of keeping the money, and then they say like Black people, like a dollar spends only 5 minutes in the Black community and then it's gone. So it's kind of the same thing, keeping that money in that business circle, and then people are committed to you and committed to the group. So like if I asked you, how many photographers do you know? There's 50,000 photographers. Everybody's a photographer. Everybody's a real estate agent. So who am I going to refer to? I'm going to refer my business to the people within my circle that are committed to my success. And as long as we're both working hard to support each other, it's a mutually beneficial situation. So being part of... Go ahead.
So just so to make sure I understand this, the $400 that she asked you about gets you access to that course and the network?
So the $400 is the class. That's $100 for the network per year.
Per year. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry if I missed that part.
No. I was only talking about one half. I used to do it for free. But then when you do shit for free, you get all the people that aren't interested, the people that are not motivated, the people that have a great idea but don't want to get out of bed. Once you create that barrier, now it's people that's interested. Now you paid $100, you're like, damn, I better get at least $100 worth of referrals back in the year to break even. Obviously, we want you to make more than that. And then so I always tell people, we don't do any long-time contracts. We don't do anything. If we don't bring value into your life, walk away, talk shit, tell people I suck, don't connect with me. So we don't do any long-term contracts. And then we make sure that we bring value into your life. The $400 is per class. And, you know, we're teaching people how to start their business, how to leverage social media. Depends on where you're at in your business and what you need, and that's what we focus on. So like I'll have like older clients that don't see the value of being on social media, and I'm like, bro, you don't even have to sell anything. Every time I post a video of me shooting at the range, I don't tell people to buy my classes or anything, but every time I post a video, I got an inbox, yo, I want to go to the range, hey, I want to book a lesson, me and my girl want to go on a date, I'm trying to be an armed security officer. So social media makes me money. So when you say, oh, I'm not going to be on Facebook, you know, they know everything about it. I'm like, and then I explain to people, social media only knows what you tell them. So if you tell them your personal business, then they're going to know all your business.
Oh, I wish people understood that. I wish people really understood that is how social media worked. If you don't tell it, the computer, the social media, nobody would know. I think that goes over their heads.
It goes over a lot of people's head.
Way over. I really wish people processed that. But however, you know what? We're going to get off topic real quick. because you opened a can of worms with that. I think it's real funny how people get mad when you comment about the stuff that they talk about. Like, this is my page. I can say what I want. Yeah, but it's also a social platform that you put something on that you want people to respond to. So why can't I not say what I just said?
No, oh, why are you on my thing? Because you're yelling in the middle of the cafeteria and now everybody knows your business. That's literally what you're doing. My baby daddy ain't shit. Okay, well, now we know she got baby daddy problems. All right, baby daddy comes back and says, oh, well, you ain't shit either. And then the whole, now we're all watching. Now we're eating our popcorn and we're like,
ooh. I get popcorn and be like,
go through all the comments like, wait, did you see?
And then friends start laughing and commenting, oh, why are you commenting? Mind your business. You don't know the whole story. Man, nobody needs to know your personal.
So put
business.
The whole story in since we don't know it, and don't miss anything either. Don't make yourself look like the good guy when you know you were the aggressor and you're the bad guy. Like, be honest.
And now you're airing out all your family dirty laundry. It's like, no.
That is entertaining. Okay,
it is entertaining, but it's detrimental. This is entertaining, doesn't mean it's good.
Of Black entrepreneurship and weaponry. So I didn't really have a lot of questions regarding that part. You do? Okay, go ahead.
Where did the concept of creating an opportunity for people to have access to a specific type of network, where did you get that from?
By being part of BNI and Chambers of Commerce and other organizations. I didn't even have that concept. Well, I had the concept in mind of like how people work together, but I didn't have like a concrete example. So when I went into this business meeting, almost always I was the only Black guy there. And I'm like, damn, why aren't my people that look like me working? Like throughout my entire career, most of my career, I've engaged with white people. And there's a lot of opportunities. And I'm like, damn, why aren't my people in my community taking advantage of these things? I know a lot of people who do hair, or you'll see somebody, you know, cooking on Facebook and they're selling plates. And then 5 years later, they're still selling plates. Why haven't you grown that business? You're doing a good job. You're getting good reviews. People are always commenting. How come that's not translating into long-term success? And it's because we're not organized. So when we're seeing these different strategies, and I'm like, wow, this is actually really smart. I see how these people are networking. And they're like, all right, guys, for the end of the year, this group made, you know, $780,000 worth of referral business. And then I read an article and say, oh, Black people keep only $5 in the community for 10 minutes. But Asians keep it for 7 days or something like that. And I'm like, damn, why aren't we circling our dollars within our thing? And, you know, so then I'm like, okay, that's because people are strategizing, they're organizing, they are intentional in everything that they do. And when you make your whole life intentional, then you get much better results. How many people do we know just go with the flow? Oh, I don't have a job. Okay, well, are you applying? No, you know, I'm just going to walk around today. If I see a thing, I'm going to. And then I'll hear people say, oh, I've been looking for a job, you know, for 8 months. And I'm like, how? Every place I go is hiring. like, what are you talking about? I have 2 jobs, 3 jobs. How can you not have a job? I got a job for you right here. You want to come?
Let me put you on.
You know,
I got something then, for you. Can you well, Jay, I'm yeah. people for $100 a year. I can put you on. When I got jobs.
You know what I'm saying?
Real, yeah. What? Oh, and then, my goodness,
that's interesting. I had a follow-up question.
I did have a question for you. Being that you charge everybody for your time, I hope you're not charging us today because, sir.
No. So this situation is mutually beneficial. I'm working. Your viewers are getting quality information. I'm getting exposure. You're getting access to my followers and viewers. And then, you know, for example, I took a screenshot of how many followers you have on YouTube and stuff. So if after this conversation and, you know, the video gets views, and let's say you double your views in, let's say, a week after after being on here, well, I brought value to your platform. I doubled your subscribers. And then so now, right, I can negotiate. If the only way to negotiate is to have value. If people don't see value in you, then they're not going to want to interact and do business. So I'm always tracking my metrics. So when I say, hey, you should pay me, well, I've already got the evidence. Here's the details. X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. So now I'm negotiating from a position of power. I'm not begging you. I'm showing you why it would make sense for you to do business with me and work with me, or else you're going to be losing out on an opportunity.
What's crazy is I was literally just watching part of Jess Hilarious's interview that she recently did, and that's what she did with iHeart when they lowballed her. So what happened is they initially lowballed her for the position at on the Breakfast Club. And she came with all of her receipts of what she, for the year that they had like rotating co-hosts, she came with the receipts of all of the viewers and the community that she brought to the Breakfast Club to renegotiate her salary. I'm like, yo, that was smart. Yeah. Young Black woman.
You gotta speak up for yourself.
Yeah, man. But I remembered my follow-up question. In your, speaking of like keeping the dollar within the Black community and having conversations like we do with people discussing, you know, supporting Black businesses and things like that, in your entrepreneur courses, do you teach etiquette?
Absolutely. And then that's why we got to vet people. So I'm not going to refer you. I feel like, yo, I cook. And then, you know, so one thing, so that's quality control, right? So one, you gotta vet people. I vet people throughout any aspect of my life, friendship, romantic relationships, business relationship. There is a net right there, and I'm vetting you through. And then whenever I refer someone business, I tell the person that, hey, I'm sending this person over, so you know I'm thinking about you. You know that I am invested in your success. But what I also do is I follow up on that person that I refer to. I say, hey, I sent you to JoJo's barbecue. How was it? Man, that food was cold. The dude was late. That shit was trash. Da, 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 da. I'm going to call JoJo and be like, hey, yo, what's going on? I said, my man's to you. And then they said X, Y, and Z. Oh, my fault, man. You know, my grandmother died that day. And, you know, da, da, da. Okay, cool. That makes sense. A one-off thing. But if I'm doing my quality control and I keep getting bad feedback, I'm going to cut you off from my network, because now you're making me look bad, because I'm sticking my neck out to refer your business, but you're not doing a good job. And that's why you got to manage people's expectations. Hey, if you're going to be doing business with me and be in my network, you need to be on your P's and Q's. If you need help with that, I got a class for you. I'm going to put you on.
So with that being
said, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. With that being said, is the initial entrepreneur class required in order to get access to the network, or could someone just sign up to have the do the $100 a year to have access to the network?
You can just do the $100 a year, but it's beneficial for you to start off with the classes as well, or do them at whatever pace that you want. So I always tell people, are you where you're at in life? If the answer is no, then what are you doing to get there? What are you doing different? How are you out competing your peers? Because everybody has a dream. Everybody graduates college, right? Thousands of students graduate college every year. How are you out competing everybody in that stadium with you who is applying for the same job? So if you're not doing anything different and you're not where you want to be, then you need to be making moves to get there. Now, if you take the first $400 class and then you realize that that class is trash, are you going to take any more?
No.
But okay, so yeah, don't take any more classes. Go online. Tell me I ain't shit. Tell your friends, don't buy any more classes. Don't interact with this person. That's what you get when you don't do good business. If you do good business, people are going to refer their friends and family to you. It's that simple. So do a good job. People will want to work with you. If you don't work with me and go talk your shit. Yo, that movie was horrible. How many times have we done that? Yo, don't watch that movie, bro. That shit was horrible. And then you just saved your boy $12. Now he waits till Netflix till it comes on because it sucks. So 3 weeks later, it's online. And then he's
like, $12.
No, like $12 a month. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, okay. Because the movie theater is expensive. That's a $50.
Well, depends on who you are. I always cash in on my veteran discount. So,
you know what?
Okay. Whatever.
How do you go to places that show me love? So if you appreciate why my stag ride for the country, I'm going to do business. Now you got a discount on that ticket. You lost a little bit of money, but now you made money off the food. Now I'm buying a $50 bag of popcorn that only costs $2. So you made your money back, right?
You know what? I'm being mad at it. But Nettie Boo had to say, what did you want
no,
to
I
say,
just Nettie? Wanted to shout out everybody that's watching.
Oh, everybody that's watching.
We see you guys.
Thank yes, you absolutely. Tuning. Thank you, everyone that is tuned in. For everyone that is just joining, this is Solomon, and he is teaching us all about his entrepreneurship classes that he has to assist you to be better person, to be a better person in the future with whatever business you have. He has all these great connections. He does self-defense, and he does his gun training, which is part of the self-defense, right?
Yeah. So there's many different types of self-defense. Are you trying to learn how to shoot a gun? Are you trying to learn how to use pepper spray? Are you trying to learn how to use stun gun? Are you trying to learn hand-to-hand combat? So these are all qualify as self-defense, but what angle, what perspective and lens are you looking at it from? So yeah, we do teach all those classes because you can't teach everything in one day, right? So if you could take a one-day course and be a ninja, then everybody would be a ninja. But we can't teach you how to use gun, pepper spray, hand-to-hand combat, do all that.
You know, in one day. You know what? I did watch YouTube University, and this morning I woke up being a ninja. You don't know this is a whatever you feel like being, you could be. If I feel like a ninja, I'm a ninja. If I have the skill of the ninja is another conversation. If I feel like a ninja, I'm a ninja.
I identify.
Yes, I want to identify as a ninja today. I'm a ninja.
Well, my profession is a self-correcting profession, right? So you can believe whatever you can believe whatever you want. Now, when you go to that bar and then you start that fight with those three dudes, you go find out and then you go self-correct.
He said, No. Let's get that DeLulu out your head, right? Real quick. Let's fix that. He said, I keep you accountable at all times.
Good. You can take my class before or after the ass whooping. I'm still going to get paid either way.
You know what, Solomon? I am so done with you. I am so done with you. So there's a question from someone in the comments from Shanice. She said, how many classes are there? How many people in a class, and how often do you run the classes?
So classes are infinite. So as my knowledge grows and I hit new milestones, then I can do more classes. So right now I would still consider myself a small business, but when we become a seven-figure organization, I'm gonna learn something new because I spent an additional 2-3 years learning stuff. So there's gonna be a new class created for that level. But basically for every level that you're at, we're gonna create a course for that. Why? Because I'm charging you $400, but it cost me 4 years and $4,000 to figure out whatever the hell I gotta figure out. So now I'm gonna charge you for that. I'm carefully documenting everything. I'm seeing what's valuable, what's not valuable, and then I'm gonna create a new class based off of that. So for example, I just started YouTube seriously this year. I had a YouTube channel for many years, but I wasn't really doing anything. Then this year, I really started going at it. I envision in 2-3 years when we have a large following, I'm gonna create a how to start a YouTube course. Right, how to be a professional YouTuber, because I'm going to invest the time, money, and energy into being successful at what I'm doing, and then I'm going to turn around and charge you for it.
Okay, so when someone pays for these classes, the $400, how many classes come with that $400?
It's just one class. Yes.
Oh, how long is the class for? Like 8 hours?
10-hour course.
So for 10 hours, and that's all in one day?
Yep.
Oh. Okay. And someone wants to know, are these classes also available online?
No, they're in person. You got to get up, put some clothes on, and come outside, rain, sunshine, or whatever. We want people that's invested. Because if you spend $400 and you don't do anything that we tell you to do, then you got no value out of the class. So I need you to get up, go outside, and put some effort into it. So it's that screen again, right? I want to screen people who are bullshitters. I want to screen people who aren't ready to invest time, money, and energy and sacrifice for their dream. If you're one of those people, oh my God, I'm supposed to take the class today. It's raining. I'm not going to go outside.
So what if they found out about you, but they live in another state, and so that's why they might be requesting, do you provide these courses online?
Take that flight.
Oh, okay.
If Mark Cuban said, hey, I'm going to sell a $4,000 course to learn how to be a millionaire, would you be on that flight and go to Mark Cuban? I would. Mark Cuban is a billionaire, or a millionaire, 100 millionaire. I would. So it's my job to create value so that somebody want to fly out of state and do that.
So it's one class that you're offering.
Because you have to be good at that topic. Right. So if I'm going to teach you how to leverage, let's say, for example, Facebook to make money, I can't go over Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, because these are all different things that all work differently. So gotcha. I give you enough information on that particular topic for you to be an expert at it and to make money.
Gotcha.
So if I include all five different things, then I'm bullshitting you. Because you're not going to get enough to monetize that. Because remember, that $400 is an investment. Your goal is to take that knowledge and then to flip it and make money. So if you spent $400, but you used the strategies that we used in the class, and it made you $800, now you just made $400 in profit.
Right.
If I change the way you think, and then like through this conversation, you're like, yo, social media is, you know, can make me money. I tell people, post about their business all the time. Post about your journey. It don't matter if you ain't shit. If you're in the kitchen and then you cooking off your stove, show that. Because people are going to value that growth when 3 years from now, you're like, yo, look at me. I got the keys. I just got this new restaurant. People are going to like, yo, I remember when you was doing videos in your kitchen and you were selling plates. Now you got a thing. So now, but those 4 years, you built up a following.
Mm-hmm.
Because if year one, let's say, you know, we're Donald Trump and our dad loaned us a small sum of $1 million, you opened that business in that first year, you didn't have 4 years of following. So now your business is empty, but then you got overhead, you've got payroll, right? And that costing you a lot of money. So you might fail in that first year because you might have, I don't know, let's say your parent died and then you inherited money. And then you got this great idea, I'm going to start a restaurant. Now you blow 50K into starting that restaurant, but you don't know how to advertise. You may be a great cook, but you can't get people in your restaurant. So now you're running overhead, but you ain't got no income. You would have been better off starting in your kitchen, spending that 4 years building your craft, learning things, all that stuff. And then when you open that restaurant, you figured out all the things you need to. You got to figure out vendors. You got to figure out cleaners. You got to get qualified people. So cooking may be your expertise, but when you try to grow that business and you try to scale, you realize that there's a million other things that you need to know and do. Well, you're better off figuring that shit out before you spend that 50K to open the restaurant. And then now you're trying to figure out why Friday night, where people should be all up in your restaurant, that shit's empty.
That makes sense.
How many times have we gone to a restaurant and then the place is empty? You're like, damn, Friday night? It's empty? It's beautiful out? What you doing wrong? Pay me $400 and I'll teach you how to leverage it. You're going to pull that motherfucker up.
But hold on.
Their
restaurant already ain't making no business, so they don't have $400 to pay you.
As an entrepreneur,
as an entrepreneur,
you got to take a risk. Everything is a risk. Nothing is guaranteed. You might come take my class and then you might not learn shit.
Right. So now my money just went nowhere. And I don't get a refund.
As an entrepreneur, you got to take risks.
Good Christ. My $400 when you're just starting, but I get it.
Nah, you spend $400 on a weave, lace front, all that ghetto shit, red bottoms, everybody screaming Air Forces, Jordans, all that shit, PlayStation, right? Niggas got $400.
I didn't say they did it because they definitely
do. So it's my job.
I guess it's for. Saying that's for people that would be serious about it.
That's for real. So as founder and CEO, I've got to show you the value. And then that's why I got to bring receipts. And the only reason why people are going to listen to me because I produce results. So could I have taught this class and charged $400 10 years ago? No, because I didn't have the results.
Right.
Yeah. But now I do. My time ain't free.
No, I ain't mad about that at all. Time that it takes for you to learn this craft, you're putting all this information that you've learned over
10 years.
Right.
Sweat, tears, sacrifice.
I imagine. I can hear the passion in your voice, sweetheart. It's okay.
I know what you're about to, I get it.
You know what I mean? Because I had to learn this along the way too.
And then if I could have learned the things that I know now in year one, what? I'd be a millionaire by now. I literally would be a millionaire.
So I have a question. It's going to take us off topic again. Before I do that, though, have you completed all the topics with us that you wanted to discuss? I know you wanted to discuss the self-defense and the courses that you're teaching, relationships in the Black community and neighborhood. Did you want to dabble on that still, or...?
Go in the flow, whatever. We could all do a part two, part three, you know, it's cool.
No, not that. I was just, so, do you remember?
I do think love plays a role in having a life partner that supports you can definitely accelerate your growth. But
I agree with that.
If I had a wife shooting in the gym with me, we'd be millionaires right now. But my girlfriend at the time, when I opened up my shop that was 45 minutes away from Boston, she broke up with me.
Aww.
That's okay. That's good. Why should you get the reward? You didn't plant the seeds. Had she planted the seeds with me, we would have been millionaires by now.
So Nettie Boo asked, are you single? Just in case anyone's watching and interested.
I am single, but I'm focusing on my purpose.
Nothing wrong with that. So in case anybody was interested, he's not looking. Sometimes we can be a little love.
I didn't say I wasn't looking. I'm just saying I'm focused on my purpose. So you gotta bring more value than my purpose, which I think a woman can bring if she decides to. But if you come here screaming, being all entitled, can't take me to the cheesecake, you know, I ain't dating no bus driver, I ain't going 50-50 with no man, then you can go on and get out of here. So my standards are high. Well, I don't even think they're high. I don't think my standards are high. I think my standards should be the norm. This is what I think. I think my standards should be the norm. But you hear women screaming on the internet all day. Take me on the first day. You can't take me to a cheesecake. You got to take me to a $1,000 restaurant. If you ain't making less than six figures, do you guys watch the Kendra G show?
No, but clearly you don't watch our show either, because we did a whole show about that, and we were definitely not the norms of what these.
Well, I did watch a couple of your shows. I did watch a couple of your shows, and I commented on YouTube.
But what about that one where we discussed that? So before I even get there, let's reverse a little bit and talk about what your standards are, because you feel like they may not be too much, and which is valid because we all have our requirements, right? I'm about to get all up in your business because, honey, you got me shifting. So what are your standards that you don't think are too much? Because I'm not saying that they are, because so far what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're reasonable. What are your requirements? Because I don't really like to say standards. We all have requirements.
Yeah, so
come on.
It's so funny because I was thinking about, like, if we got on this topic, how I wanted to go about it. And I want to do it in an educational and respectful way. Okay. So men put women in different categories. So
time out. So before we do categorizing and just say men do this, can we just speak for yourself? And then, like, if the men have something to say, they can jump in the comments.
Sure. Okay. So you want me to focus on me? And
this is who's here. It's us and you.
Okay, fair enough. I put women in different categories. So you're the... So if I see no value in you, then you're in the F only zone, right? So
the F only zone, if you have that. Oh, so if they have value, you only want to F them?
No. If they have no value.
Oh, okay. I missed the no value. My apologies.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to Pound Town. We playing F My Baby Daddy out the speakers. You know, there's no standard for that anybody can get it. If I'm vetting you to be a girlfriend or a wife, that's where the standards start to creep in. So at this point of my life, oh man, yeah, gonna kill me. So I'm 34 years old. Age range, I would ideally like to date anyone 22 to 34. you have to be single, never have been married, no children, never divorced, that goes with married. You have to be fit, feminine, cooperative, submissive. Let's see, what else? You have to be willing to contribute and pitch in. I don't date any woman that don't do 50-50. If you're screaming, I don't want no roommate, I'm not going 50-50. I need a ninja to pay all my bills, automatically disqualified. I don't date any women with, cosmetic surgeries. So BBL, tummy tucks, fat transfer, mummy makeover, whatever type of cosmetic surgery. I don't want any of that, breast implants, any of that stuff. So if you have any cosmetic surgery that is not medically related to like your health, I'm not interested in that. Lip fillers, eyebrows, nose job, any of that stuff. What's up?
Is there eyebrow surgery?
Yo.
Talk about feeling like makeup.
Talking to a shorty. I was talking to a shorty and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And I'm like, something's weird. So now we're like all up in the face. And I realized that she had no eyebrows. They were tattooed. But I couldn't pick up what it was until like I was in her face. And I'm like, wow, we're not even having eyebrows no more. Like, what? So yeah, no tattooed eyebrows. Natural hair. I don't like fake hair. I want you to be in your natural state. The God, universe, whatever you believe in, God made you perfect. If you're not fit and you want to get in shape, I'm somebody that want to live a fit lifestyle. Let's go, let's work out. But you can't let yourself go too far because sometimes there's a point of like no return. If you're like on my 800-pound life and your husband's feeding you by the funnel and he eats 8 boxes of pizza, like you've gone too far. So I need her to be fit in her natural state, be willing to contribute, shoot in the gym, and share my values, right? So you got to share my values. You got to have the same mindset. And that's really the big buffer for me, is not having shared values. Like, for example, if you're screaming, I don't need a man, how can you talk about the Black community and not have Black families? So if you say, I don't need a man, you don't think a husband, your dad, your brother, whoever is important. So how can I have a child with a woman who doesn't believe that a Black man is integral in that household? So that means if we break up, now I'm going to become part of all the stories you see online where a man is trying to see his kid and then the woman is, you know, taking him through divorce, trying to take all his money, leveraging the kid, access to the kid and things like that. You see all these things online and I don't want to go through that. But if a woman values a man, she'd be like, I shouldn't restrict my child from having access to their dad because the dad brings something valuable in the development of the child. So I really need a woman to align with my values and who's willing to work hard and be on my program. If you don't want to be on my program, it's not going to work. Like, I don't need another strong dude in the relationship, right? I need a woman that's soft and feminine. You can be hard, but when you step into this house, you got to know that I'm in charge. I'm the leader. A lot of women talk about they want a man to lead, but they're not willing to follow. So how could you want a leader, but then when he tries to lead and give you structure, now you're talking about he's controlling, he's narcissistic and all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. I need a woman that's going to get on my program. And if you don't want to get on my program, then we can take a ride to Pound Town. If we don't want that, then go ahead. Find a guy whose program you want to get on if it's not mine. So I really want to have only one woman that I'm dealing with, one wife. I don't want 8 baby mamas and all this crap that you see online that people are going through. I really want a household where I have one wife and we have, as many children as we can afford and give a good quality life to. And, you know, that be that. I don't want my kid drawing a family tree at school and he got 8 fucking trees because, you know, every brother and sister is different. I'm like, God damn, these kids nowadays, they need a poster to do a family tree before you can draw it on a sheet of paper. So I'm trying to avoid all that bullshit. I have a bunch of friends that are going through crap. Well, you know, like child support and things like that. I'm like, damn. And then now I have a lot to lose, right? And then so if I do marry a woman and she divorces me, she takes half? Like, damn. You know, that's the only time women believe in, some women believe in 50-50 is during the divorce. But you don't want to go 50-50 during a relationship. But now that we're divorcing, that you're probably filing because 80% of divorces are filed by women, you know, now you want to go half. So I really need a woman that have my qualities and that's willing to be on my program. And then if she is, then shoot, we taking over.
Do you have questions? You know, your requirements are your requirements. I just have a question about the requirement of allowing you to lead and the suggestion that, you know, women want a leader, but they're not willing to follow. And then we accuse people of being like narcissistic and things like that. When you think about leading in your home and leading your family, does that not come with any compromise?
Of course you compromise. You're in a relationship.
Okay.
When I'm listening to you cry about your girlfriends and your boss at work, when I'm watching girl movies, when I'm men do a lot of compromising, but we often don't get value for that. Right. So men compromise all the time in their relationship. But is it, do you value that compromise? Of course, there's a compromise. But if we have different opinion and executive decision have to be made, if I make that decision, you need to trust and believe that I'm making the best decision for the family. Now, if you don't trust and believe in the decisions and the way I'm leading the family, then you need to get on another man's program and find a guy that you can believe. Because I have a very specific path that I want for myself and my family. And if you want another lifestyle, then find a guy that you're compatible with. For example, I don't drink and smoke. So if you want to drink and smoke and party every weekend and be at the club, I'm not that guy for you. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means we're not compatible and then we don't have shared values. You can find a guy who wants to smoke and drink every weekend, right? And then you guys can get along great. I don't have to be a bad person. You don't have to be a bad person. Our vision and views just don't align. I don't want anybody committing crimes and doing drugs. So if you're boosting and you're in the streets and, you know, you're a Pukisha, we're not going to match up with that. So it's about finding people who align with you and then somebody who wants to willingly go on that journey. Because if you try to force somebody to do the things that you want, you guys are not going to be happy. You're not going to get along. There's going to be fights. There's going to be conflicts. So I rather somebody who says, hey, Pierre, I see you have a great program. I want to get on that program. Lead me. And then we'll have our family.
Nice. That was very nice.
You look like you have a lot of thoughts and comments.
None whatsoever, my dear. You are entitled to the things you want in your life, and that is A-okay. That is great. That is great.
Are you asking for conversation, though? Are you asking for, like, perspective?
No, it was my observation. It seemed like there was that there could be a lot of possible dialogue, but...
That's what I'm saying. We're on a podcast. Do you want conversation around that? Or was it just like, you know, y'all ask me a question, here's my answer, let's move on.
No, I think it is important because when we talk about Black community, how can we have a Black community with no Black family? How many times are you seeing people online having baby showers, but there's no dude in the baby shower? How many people are having babies out of wedlock? How many people do you see complaining about their baby daddies, their baby mamas, and all this and that? So how can we have a Black community without Black family? How can we talk about being united and organizing and making money together and building together, and you can't even have that in the house?
So I agree with everything that you're saying. I agree with having, you know,
aligned values.
Changing the, and having aligned values and changing the narrative of what a Black family is viewed as. My only, you know, perspective that I would offer, and this could be, you know, premature because we haven't talked about the specifics of your comments, but you say you want someone that's going to go 50-50 with you, but if an executive decision needs to be made, it's on you. I didn't hear any, and this is why I asked the question about compromise. I guess it wasn't clear. I didn't hear any conversation that, you know, was surrounded around like logic in our household. You know what I'm saying? Because you could see things one way, but your wife can see things another way. And when a decision needs to be made, I don't know about executive decisions being, you know, the sole responsibility of one person, especially if we're going 50-50. Let's bring both of our logic to the table and determine which one of us hits more key points, KPIs that need to be hit for this decision to be made. That would be my only combat to what your requirements are.
Oh boy, combat. Okay, great. I'm gonna address that.
While you're there too, can I also ask, like, what is, I don't know if this is for you, if it applies to you, and if it doesn't, that's fine. But what is the obsession with wanting women to submit? I'm obsessed with why men are obsessed with women submitting to them, even before marrying them. Like, y'all want us to submit, not all, but some of y'all want us to submit to you as your girlfriend. Like, what? And why are you so obsessed with someone submitting to you? Like, why? So those are my.
Okay. I'm gonna address that. So we're going to put out a disclaimer that we're not saying all women, not all men.
No, we know, because you did good words. It was like some, not everybody.
Yeah. So my term is that enough people or this is enough of a problem that it's worth having a discussion about. So, for example, Black mass shooters. There's not enough Black mass shooters out there for us to be talking about Black mass shooters in the Black community. It doesn't exist, right? So yes, not every man and woman, but enough people. Well, my thing is, right, shared values. Do you believe, I believe in the man being head of household. So if you don't believe in that, then we're not compatible, right? Some people are religious. They say God, man, woman, children. So if a large group of the Black community is religious, so if you're gonna call out that you're a Christian or whatever, why wouldn't you submit to your man and let him lead, right? Being a leader of a team, right? So that's the first thing. Do you believe in the man being head of household and leading? If you don't, then go find you a man who doesn't mind being a beta, and then you can lead your own house, and then you can find your own wife to be submissive to you. But if you believe in the man leading and heading the household.
Wait, did you just tell me to be a lesbian?
not you specifically, but women who want to be head of household. If you want to be the nigga in the
relationship. If I want to be head of household,
if you want to be the nigga and be head of household, then go buy you your house and go find you your wife. And then she can submit to you and you could be head of household. But in my house, I'm the head of household. Right. So if you don't believe in that, and then you don't want to be in your surf soft girl life era, and you want to be hard, and you're strong and independent Black woman, you could do better by yourself. You don't need no man. Da, 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 da. Go ahead. Go live that hard life. Life is hard. Choose your heart. Life is hard. Choose your heart. It's hard paying all your bills. It's hard being a single mom. It's hard going to work, growing in your career, picking kids up, dropping them off, doing programs, feeding them, da 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 da. Right? You hear women complain about that online 24/7. Life is hard, choose your heart. It's compromising hard. Yes, but choose your heart. So if you believe that man is head of household, then great. So that's why reason number one, you should submit to your man and let him lead. Two, if you believe your partner is not logical and leading you down a bad path, then why are you in a relationship with them? I couldn't be with a woman that I don't think is logical. For example, if I'm your boyfriend, I'm like, hey, baby, I don't want to go to work on 9 to 5. I'm going to rob niggas and sell drugs. You'd be like, whoa, bro, that's jail time. you know, if we have kids, you can't get a job if you get arrested. Da, da, da. That's not logical. But if that's the program that that nigga's saying is like, hey, I'm going to be a street dude and I'm going to hustle and do that. Some women like that. And some women get on that program and some women don't. So if you see that man's program is not logical and it doesn't make sense, then why would you commit your life to that man? Why would you give that man children if you don't think he's moving in a logical manner? That doesn't make sense. So that's why I don't deal with criminals, right? Because if you're a criminal, the risk reward, I'm like, whoa, that's not a good equation. So if you boosting and you doing things and you doing crazy stuff, I'm going to step away from you. My lifestyle requires me to have a clean background. I can't be engaged and caught up in anything. So if you're in a lifestyle that's criminal and you think to you that's logical, then cool, go do that. I don't have to participate in it. So if your man is a bad leader and he's not using logic and he's leading you down a bad path, then that's a bad program. Opt out and go for a better program. Don't give that man kids. Don't have 2, 3, 4, 5 kids by this man and then come back to the dating market and say, yo, I've got 3 kids and now I'm trying to come back. You've lowered your bargaining power. Now you can't negotiate as much. So if that guy has a bad plan, then don't hop on that plan.
So I feel like...
every guy has a program.
Because... I feel like with your examples, and you know, if you've watched the show, I'm straightforward. I feel like there's a lot of extremes in your examples. And when I consider relationships, I consider, you know, real life, like regular, everyday, you know, things that you're going to deal with. First of all, I'm not going to be your wife if throughout our relationship before
I can't have a difference of opinion.
I never made that statement.
I'm gonna adjust the scenario. Let me finish. If you didn't become a scammer after we got married, right? And if you did, what the fuck happened? I don't know. So I wouldn't even be at the point where we're sitting at a table trying to have a discussion if the discussion was around you being a scammer or not. Like, that's not what I'm talking about.
But a lot of women opt in for that, though. A lot of women
you're talking about you. We're talking about us and we're being general. So I'm going to speak to our general audience, right? Mm-hmm. Our general audience, and not saying that I know everyone personally, but I'm going to speak for the people that I know, right? We're the decisions that we're making is not be a scammer or not, is not rob a bank or not. The decisions that we're making in our relationships or when we're talking to our partners are more things like, hey, should we get a... You know, we need to update our kitchen. Should we get a refrigerator first or a stove? You know, these are the things that I'm talking about. And when I think about those type of decisions, and the comment that you made, like, oh, if there's an executive decision that needs to be made, the decision is mine. I don't agree with that. Let's talk logic. Why do you feel like a refrigerator needs to be purchased first? Why do I feel like a stove needs to be purchased first? Which one of us benefits the team? Right, as you referred it to, which one of those decisions benefits the team more, and let's go with that one. It's not, you know, well, I say refrigerator, so that's what we're getting. That's what I don't agree with, especially if it's a 50-50 commitment.
Okay, so you said you want to talk logic and be realistic. 1 in 5 Black women will ever be married in their lifetime. So we don't even make it to the house and marry.
Excuse me, hold on. What did you say? What was your question?
Wait. Turn it off.
One in four or five Black women will ever be married in their lifetime. So we don't even make it.
I only have 5 friends who have been married.
We don't. Yeah. Okay. You can't take your anecdotal experiences for the entire population. So we as a Black community, we don't even make it to husband and wife and house, right? We don't even get there. My white peers, when I talk to them, oh yeah, my grandfather built this house that we grew up in. Oh, my mom and dad died and then we inherited this house. Oh, this house is paid off. We as a Black community, we don't even get there. When our parents die, you know what we get? GoFundMe, bills, debt, no estate planning, right? So we're not even getting to the marriage and the household. So if we're gonna be realistic, we've gotta talk to the stages before that, because most of us will never get there. majority, right? So we can statistically say majority of us will never get to the married and co-joining, co-owning a home as the Black community. And I'm not blaming fault, right or wrong. I'm just saying we don't get there. So if we're gonna be realistic, we need to go to the early stages, right? How many of us are being married, right? That's why you have the phrase, marry before we carry. How many Black women, or women in general, I don't know if you wanna be specific about Black women, how many of them are married before they have children, right? So we gotta look at those percentages. We're not even getting there. I'm not blaming fault. I'm just saying we gotta figure out how to get along. That's why I say if you don't like the program that dude is on, don't have a kid by him. Don't plan out your life and build your life. Don't make life-making, life-changing decisions, because most of us will never get the happy ending that we're looking for. So if we're going to be realistic, we got to start in the early stages about the program. Every man has a different program because I listen, right? So I listen to what I'll say about Black women complain. They complain about the Pookies and Ray Rays. They talk about Black men are not making enough money. They're not educated enough. When you include the height and then the amount of money that they make, there's a small percentage of Black men that are actually eligible bachelors that, you know, that you can marry. That's something that Black women argument they make by and large. So I'm saying, if you meet a man, I meet you at the club, you say, hey, Pierre, how's it going? You know, I'm like, hey, da, 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 we're kicking it. Okay, so what do you do for a living? Yo, what up? I'm going to be a rapper. Follow my SoundCloud. I got 80 followers. Baby, I like you. Come and follow my dream. You know, we could drive around the neighborhood and I'll pop my trunk and sell CDs out the trunk. And then we can smoke and drink all the time. That's a program. And you could be for that program and say, yeah, I support your rap career, da, 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 and then you can be with that guy. Or you can say, that's a bad program. I don't like hood dudes. I'm going to go for the banker. I'm going to go for the 9-to-5 guy who puts a suit and a tie and he has a respectable career. But now us men, we're hearing that you guys don't want to date the average man. You don't want to date the bus driver. You don't want to take, right, Ebony K, right? Ebony K, I won't date no dust. Bus driver, you can't take me to no cheesecake. Well, why does the average Black man make a month? So I mean, not a month, a year.
I'm sorry. Can I stop you? Because
go ahead, sure.
I feel like your extremes are here and there. First of all, is it
the average for the Black community? Is it really extreme? Or is it
listen. Let me finish. The thing that irks my nerves about this conversation is we always want to bring up statistics, but how recent are the statistics that you're referencing, right? Because what we are doing as a Black community, what we're preaching and what we're working hard to do is change the narrative. You've mentioned it many times in this podcast, and you're not the only person. We're all trying to change the narrative of what Black people, Black families, Black communities have been. Right. So when we speak statistics, let's get off of the soapbox of what it used to be and let's focus on what it is today and what we're planning on it to be going forward. That's one. When I say about your extremes, we all know that we have choices. We all know that we can meet somebody and be like, you know what? You a 55-year-old rapper with 80 subscribers now. I'm good on that. But what I'm asking you about is when you get to the point of meeting someone that you actually like, that you're actually planning to be with, where you get to the point where you get married, you have kids in whatever order you choose to do so, and you get into this household and you have to make decisions here. Decisions come up every day that you need to make. Every single day you need to make decisions. And these decisions need to come with conversations between the two people that are involved in those decisions. So when you tell me that you are looking for someone that's willing to go 50-50, you don't want no princess that just wants to be taken care of. However, my word is the law. That just does not sit right with me.
I never said my word is the law.
You said executive decision is yours.
Okay. That's executive decision. Yeah. The executive decision is yours. That doesn't sit right with me. Because if I'm going 50-50 on everything, right? 50, when we have all these kids running around this house, it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be maintained. Decisions need to be made. I'm taking on 50% of the mental capacity, 50% of the emotional capacity, 50% of the financial capacity. I'm taking on all of these. And I feel like this is a better thing, but your executive decision is going to override me. That's not the type of environment that I feel is productive. Beneficial or productive
at all.
Okay, cool.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make. So let's not talk about the drug dealers that are trying to pick up, you know, the women that are interested in drug dealers or not. That's not what I'm talking about. We asked you about your ideal woman in your ideal household. And I gave my perspective on what you said about your household. So I'm talking about you found the woman that you're looking for. Right. And you guys are creating a life together. When it comes time to make those decisions in life, having executive order, I just feel like it doesn't work well mentally. And I'm going to speak for myself in a partnership, because essentially that's what a relationship is. It's a partnership. That's what a marriage is. It's a legal partnership. Executive decision doesn't work in a partnership.
And I think that's one of the main problems in our community, is that, if we're going to say in our Black women, and in our communities, that Black women don't give Black men that space to make executive decisions. As a team, so I think that's one of the main problems. That's why I said get on a guy's program that you think is logical, you think is smart, and makes good things. And that's why we run into conflict. Everywhere else you are in your life, you allow that person to lead. When you go to school, you submit to the teacher. When you go to work, you submit to your boss. When you go to your parents' house, you submit to your parents. The only place where Black women have issues submitting to is in the household to her Black man. She submits everywhere else.
I'm sorry, and who are you surrounded by? Who are
let
you
me,
around?
Let me, what is your let me say like, one more thing.
Network? Like, I want to hug you.
Let me, no, what? because I'm talking about right here where we have a Black woman says she doesn't want to submit to a man and give executive.
That's not what she said.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'll take that back. I'll take it back. I want to make a couple of points.
I don't want you to respond to a perspective that is incorrect. That is not what I said.
Hold up.
I said it's when it's time to make decisions, right? If we have conflicting ideas about the decision that needs to be made, we go off of logic, right? And then whatever decision that we decide to make off of the logic that came from the two of us, baby, you take this. And you lead us through this decision. So it's not that I don't submit to my man, but when it comes time to make decision, there's no executive order. We make that decision together, and then maybe you lead us and I support you how I'm supposed to.
Okay, let me give you an example. You're on a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
You're on any type of team, right? The leader of that team, the captain of that team, when they make decisions, can they please everyone on that team? No. So when you make a decision, it may be the best for that team, but not everybody may agree with it. So
majority.
It's not always majority. No. Majority, I don't go by majority because we're using logic. Majority of the people want to work a 9-to-5 and work 40 hours a week. And then so. That's literally life. Have you looked at economics? Have you looked
just
at
because that is life doesn't mean that that's what people want.
Okay, cool. Well, that's what people have, right? So we talk about reality. You may want whatever you want, but in reality, that's what you have. So just because you're a leader of a team, right, there are going to be times where you make a decision where all members of that team may not agree with you. And that's why you've got to respect that captain, that leader, that you respect them and say, even though I don't agree with your decision, I'm still trusting you to lead us through. And that's called trust and respect. If you don't trust and respect your man who may disagree with you on a point, if you don't trust them to make that executive decision, then that's not the right man for you. I never said that the woman couldn't make input, right? Because we talked about logic. I said, if you find a man that you're with is not logical, leave him. He's not a good candidate for you. If you find your values don't align with that man, leave him. Find somebody who's on your page and who's compatible. But if you're truly going to elect that man as the leader, what you're going to have to accept is that he's going to make decisions that you're not always going to agree with, or else you require 100% agreement on everything. How could we ever move forward if 100% agreement is required to move forward? So that means sometimes he's going to make decisions that you don't agree with.
And exactly.
if it's never going to work, then he's not a leader. Then you want to be, you want to be the leader. How can I be the leader and the one in charge, but then we come out a fork of a road, we have a disagreement, whether we go right or left. I listen to you, I hear you. I say, hey, babe, I hear what you said. I took it into consideration. And after I took your input into consideration, I've decided to go left, but now you don't agree with it. So if you can't trust that man to lead you left to take your input, then that's the wrong dude for you. And no. That's the wrong woman for me, because I'm not saying don't have input. I'm not saying don't compromise and things like that. I've never said that. But at the end of the day, you've got to trust that man who you chose to lead you and your family. You've got to trust them in making the right decision. So if you don't trust that man, if you don't believe that man, and then if you don't believe that that man has the best interest for you and your family, even when we disagree, then don't be with that man. I wouldn't want to be with a woman that, even if we disagree, I say, babe, I know we disagree on that, but I still think we need to make this business move. Trust me. If I can't get that trust and leeway, then you're the wrong person for me, for both people. That's why I say find a man that you can trust, but you're never going to have 100% agreement in everything. So if you don't have agreement and you don't trust your nigga, then why are you with him?
Two things. One, the coach reference was really, really nice. But the difference between coach and a team and a partnership is the team is not the coach's partner. So that's the difference between those things. Secondly, what you're saying now about the fork in the road and I take it into consideration, but I'm still going to go this way. It's meeting what I'm saying, but what I need
in that's addition, an executive decision.
What I need in addition to your decision to go left is the reason why your decision to go left trumps my decision to go right. That is the conversation that I need to have. What I said doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on what decision is made. That's not what I said, because that's not what's going to happen. There's two different decisions. There's two different opinions there, right? What's going to happen is we're going to go with the one that makes the most sense for our family, for our union.
We're in disagreement. Whether it makes sense.
Whether we agree with it or not, we're going to do what makes the most sense.
Then you're submitting to your man, and then you're trusting in his leadership and thing. So you asked me a question. Why does one trump? Because we elected that. That's our family values. We believe there's a hierarchy.
Now you're saying
on your program. I said that in the beginning. If you don't believe that man is head of household, then go find someone that has a different value. I am the head of my household. I didn't say, you asked me, Pierre, does that mean you compromise and you talk to your woman? I said, yes, that includes that. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe my word, right, when we come at the fork and we don't agree, if you don't believe that my decision trumps yours, then you don't believe that man is head of the household.
Okay, so someone in the comments would like for you to define submission.
Respectful cooperation. Trusting that your man has the best interest for you and your family at heart. And then if you don't trust your man, then you're not going to go along with what he says. Babe, I don't agree with that, but I trust you. Maybe you see things different. Maybe you have an expertise. Maybe
all right, so
trust you to lead the family correct.
All right, so cool. Say she does go along with all your ideas that she doesn't, that, you know, she don't agree with. And what if you make these decisions and they're not right?
How many times?
Or to leave you?
If it's 50 times, and then we're bankrupt and I'm gambling the house away and I'm gambling all my earnings, and that's a bad program, right? You're gonna say, hey,
I want her to wait till bankruptcy to leave you.
I just gave an example. It's up to you.
Because I'm saying, and I'm going by your example, you go so left, but then when we ask you questions about your left, you want to reel it in. So which one is it? We going left, or we going to stay like neutral? Because I could go, I don't want to. Oh.
Wow. Okay, so will you?
I feel like an air hug. Like, I just want to love
you. I'm chilling.
I know you are, and so am I. And I just want to love you. Like, can we embrace?
Absolutely.
You can hug me.
Embrace.
Oh my God, close your eyes and rock.
Here comes the yoga.
Oh my God. Ooh, baby, breathe.
I love all my black women. I'm rooting for everybody black. Black women, black men, black whatever you identify as. I'm rooting for everybody black. And I think that's the fundamental issue. We don't trust and believe in each other, so therefore it leads to conflict. Because you don't believe in that person's program, you don't have shared values, and then therefore there's conflict. If you don't trust and believe in me, then go find you a man that you trust and believe in, because I am not him, and I'm respectfully bowing out. I understand that I don't have the leadership skills, trait, and version of Kool-Aid, the flavor of the Kool-Aid that you are okay with. Go find you that man, baby. I am rooting and praying for you.
So someone in the comments had a question that if the woman went with the man's decision and it's wrong, is the woman to blame for when the decision is wrong, when the man is wrong?
Okay, great. That's a great question.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Is the woman to blame for going with the wrong man?
Okay. Do you believe your man is perfect?
That's not what she asked. You can't answer.
That was a rhetorical question. Do you believe your man is perfect? It's a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question doesn't require an answer. So I am answering. Do you believe your man is perfect? Do you allow space for your man to make mistakes? Leadership is not perfect. Life is up and down. There are degrees of imperfection. There are degrees of mistakes that you as a human being, as an adult, have to decide. You got to set your own limits of what risk you're willing to take or not. So, for example, if my partner... Is that her fault? Well, yes. Yes, you are accountable for all the decisions you make. So, for example, right?
Go ahead. Give the example.
Yes, we are all accountable for the decisions that we make, right? If I decide that, hey, I already used that example. I'm going to do something else. So yes, it is up to you to know your boundaries and your beliefs and say if this lines up. Now, if, let's say gambling, for example, if I'm sports betting, which apparently is not a big thing, right? I can say, hey, honey, if I bet $100, you know, I could win $5,000. I bet $100. But that was $100 of my disposable income. And then I lost $100. That's not a big deal. If I say, hey, honey, I'm betting $10,000 that we're going to put down to buy the house, that's a different thing. You've got to set those boundaries where you got to be, hey, I can't be with a man that is willing to risk our entire life to hopefully maybe win something amount. So somebody buying a scratch ticket, somebody betting $100, somebody betting $1,000, somebody betting $10,000, there are degrees. So it's up to you as a person. I personally, I can bet $10,000, but is my mortgage going to be paid? Are my kids taken care of? Is food going to be on the table? Am I jeopardizing our long-term strategy, right? If I'm jeopardizing our long-term strategy for a return that has a low statistical, you know, percentage of doing right, then that's a bad strategy. And if that man makes a habit of making severe bad strategies that jeopardizes your long-term health, well-being, security, whether it be financial, physical, right, roof over your head and stuff like that, then don't be with a man like that. So it depends. So yes, the woman is responsible. If you meet a guy and he got no fucking job, he's chronically unemployed, he can't show up to work on time, so he's fired, he's unwilling to work hard, he's willing to do that, and you stick with that man for 10 years and you give that man 3 babies and then the whole time he never worked and you become one of those stories on Facebook, oh, you're in my house, you're borrowing my car, you're doing this, then yes, it is your fault. So you've got to set your limits as an adult, how much you're willing to compromise and what you're willing to deal with. I am not willing to deal with a woman that would risk our entire long-term success for something that's low end statistical. And it doesn't even have to be betting. It can be the stock market. It could be a good guy. It could be that banker that's a good guy, but he has a bad gambling habit. So now he's in the stock market and it's like, honey, we're supposed to move out this apartment to go buy the house. But now you're in the stock market because you heard some stock is up, but you bought the stock when it was high. So now when you sell the stock is low, and then we lost half our savings. So to answer your question is, yes, you're accountable.
Do you have anything nice to say about Black women?
What did I say? I was negative. I said people whose values should align should work together and build families. If your values don't align and you don't agree in this conflict, you should leave and not create long-term problems. I've never said anything bad about Black women.
So it's
And I'll challenge you since that false accusation, what have I said that was bad about Black women? I'll let you answer that question.
Well, you didn't specifically say Black women, but you just put a whole lot of pressure on women, period. But yes. That's okay.
Yes, we need the unity that we had when there was overt oppression. The Black community has gotten complacent because our oppression is now covert. There's nobody in our face yelling nigger. Ain't nobody putting white signs. Ain't nobody stopping us from, you know, sitting in the front of the bus. So our unity has fallen. So we need to come together.
Where were you in 2020 and 2021? Complacent.
I don't want till I die. I don't want till my body is dead, dragging on the street, then we come together. I want those same parades, those same marches to have before a tragedy happens. I want those same levels of engagement going ahead, talking about how do we invest in our community? How do we do things like that? I want all that energy, which we have oftentimes after a tragedy happens. I want it before. I want us to surround people. I want us to surround ourselves with like-minded individuals, with people that believe in us, people that are willing to work with us, and then we grow our community in circle.
Yes. So let's leave that alone in the past, because you literally started this podcast with saying how you're doing that, right? And you're not the only, you're not the only one. Correct. So let's leave that idea or those statistics in the past, because we as a generation are changing them. We're literally doing that right now. And Solomon, I just want to let you know that I really, really hope you find someone that has finished growing, because all of the things that you said here today, what I feel like you're missing in your ideal relationship or your ideal person is that people grow and you guys get challenges as you grow and they change. So you might not meet a person that is a drug dealing scammer with a gambling problem. Mm. However, 10 years down the line, you might be looking in the mirror like, how the fuck did I get here?
Mm-hmm. Well, that goes.
And that's all I have to say.
And then that goes back to having discussions and reevaluating. Do I align with this person? Do we have shared values? A lot of things happen. People lose jobs. People's parents pass away. Their siblings pass away, right? People can develop habits and things like that. So you're absolutely right. And then that's why you have the values. Is this person going to work with me through the ups and downs? When we made the vow for forever after, is that person going to be with me? But we got to hold each other accountable. If we're self-inflicting those issues, then you know, we got to hold each other accountable and be with people that we agree with.
We definitely agree that we are going to hold people accountable in our community. We definitely have to wrap this up. We appreciate your input. We are definitely over our time. We wish you the best of luck in finding your like-minded group of individuals that will fit the requirements and the criteria that you are looking for to build this community. And we support you 110%. We hope you find these like-minded individuals. Is there any way, do you want to leave your contact information where they can find you so they can take your classes? Because you do offer self-defense and licensing and all these great things.
And I think the idea of offering a network is awesome.
It's beautiful. I think that's so dope. I definitely think that's great. So
yes.
Do you have a handle, like your social media handles that they can reach you?
Yeah, I just want to make one point. So you talk about things that are in the past. These statistics are about 2-3 years old. So every couple of years, it takes the census a while to gather. So I wouldn't be able to give you data on 2024 or 2023 because it takes a couple
of years. But you got social media and we all watch the news, baby.
Where can they find you for these classes? So they can find me online on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Solomon Firearms. They could text me at 857-523-0776. That's our business phone number. They can go on our website, SolomonFirearms.com, to reach out to us. And we're on YouTube as well. Part of networking with you guys is that I want to start taking control of our narrative like we're having here and having conversations and to figure out how do we get along better and then how do we find spaces where we belong. So I want us to be more communal in all aspects. And like I was saying before, it's hard to financially do everything on your own and hit great levels of success and have your business good. You need that partner in your life that's going to help you do that. Because as we become families, right, those challenges that you talk about, childcare, the cost of childcare, I'm educated every year on the increase of cost of childcare. We need that parent in the home. We need people that are willing to participate. If you have one parent that doesn't want to participate in the family, that makes it so much harder for the other parent. So we need both participants to say, hey, regardless of whatever differences we have, we're committed to the family unit, and then which means you're committed to the community. So I really want us to be intentional with our thinking. That's why I tell people, be intentional with your time, be intentional with who you share your time with. Right? Because if you're around people that you don't agree with philosophically or have the same values, then what are you doing? That's why they say hanging around the bad crowd. Don't be that person who's hanging around the bad crowd. Be around people who want the same things that you want in life. Because some friends, they don't want to work. I have some friends that say, hey, I want to work 9 to 5. And that's okay too. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. But we just need to be unified in all fronts. And it's much easier if we all are invested and we all want to do it together. And there's a lot of Black individual success, but I don't want to be the only person. I don't want to be able to count, so-and-so is doing the work. I want the Black community to be at a point where there's so much growth, there's so much success that we can't keep count. How many Black firearm instructors do we have? How many financial advisors? How many, I want there to be so much good and community and getting along and success that we can't name the people because it's become the norm. And then that's one of the things that in my life is that I was always that one person. And I'm like, no, I don't want us to be that one person. I want us to work together. Why is every other group working together with family and friends? But then you'll hear people say, oh, don't do business with friends and family. Well, other communities are doing it and they're being successful. Why are we the one that can't participate, right? How many Asians own stores or buy houses and do group economics, which is pretty much what it is. Let's do group economics, but let's start it on a small scale and then grow it out.
I agree. So that was a great way to end the show for today. Just letting us know where your mindset was as far as getting the network up and going with entrepreneurship and keeping the Black community together. We appreciate everyone who was in the comments, all the viewers today that watch. We have some beautiful comments and we appreciate everyone that was here tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Peace, love, and light. See you next time.
Thank you for having me.